Figuring out injection mold cooling times, sometimes it feels like I'm trying to solve a puzzle, but the pieces keep changing shape on me.
Yeah, it's definitely multifaceted.
We've got all this research on this.
Yeah.
I'm excited to kind of dive in and see what we can learn.
Absolutely.
If you're listening along, maybe you're feeling the same way.
It's true. There's a lot of factors that you need to consider when figuring out the best cooling time for injection molding.
Right.
But I think that's also what makes it so interesting and challenging.
Okay.
It's not a one-size-fits-all solution, which is probably why you sent all this research over.
Right. And speaking of solutions,
Yeah.
the research here outlines four main methods for figuring this out:
Yeah.
theoretical calculations, empirical formulas, preliminary trial molds, and mold flow analysis software.
Wow.
It seems like each one has its own advantages and drawbacks.
It's like having different tools for your toolbox.
Right.
And just like you wouldn't use a hammer to tighten the screw.
Okay.
You wouldn't necessarily use a theoretical calculation for a simple mold design.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Let's start with those theoretical calculations.
Sure.
I'll be honest, they sound pretty intimidating to me.
Yeah.
What's the basic idea behind them?
Well, the theoretical calculations essentially use physics to try to estimate the cooling time.
Okay.
And specifically, they rely on Fourier's law of heat conduction, which describes how heat energy transfers from that hot plastic to the cooler mold.
So it's kind of like figuring out how long it'll take my cup of coffee to cool down, but instead we're dealing with, molten plastic and an intricately engineered mold.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
And different, just like how different coffee mugs will retain heat differently. Different plastics have their own thermal properties that affect their cooling time.
Right. The research mentions this thing called thermal diffusivity. What is that and why does it matter?
Thermal diffusivity basically measures how fast the heat can move through that material.
Okay.
So a material with a high thermal diffusivity like polystyrene lets heat escape quickly. So that means shorter cooling times.
Gotcha.
On the other hand, a material with low thermal diffusivity like polypropylene will hold on to that heat a little longer.
Yeah,
It's a
yeah.
longer cooling time.
So if I'm designing, like a food container,
Right.
I would want a material with a lower thermal diffusivity
Yeah.
so that it can, keep my food hot or cold for longer.
Exactly. That's a perfect example of how understanding the thermal diffusivity can really help you choose the right material.
Cool.
But there are other things that theoretical calculations use,
Okay.
like the density, volume, and specific heat capacity.
Okay, so it can get pretty complex.
Could definitely get pretty complex.
You mentioned that these theoretical calculations might not be the best for simple mold designs.
Yeah.
So when would they be the go-to method?
They're most valuable when you really need to understand the heat transfer process, especially if you're working with brand new materials or trying to push the boundaries of injection molding.
Okay.
You really need that high level of precision.
Gotcha. So if you're working with something like really cutting edge, you need to go with this.
Exactly.
But for something a little bit more straightforward,
Right.
maybe these empirical formulas would be a better fit.
Yeah, definitely.
They seem a little bit less daunting to me.
They definitely are. Empirical formulas are more like shortcuts.
Okay.
They're simplified equations based on lots of experience and lots of data.
Oh, so they're kind of like rules of thumb that have been developed through trial and error.
Exactly like a tried and true family recipe.
Okay.
It'll generally work,
Yeah.
but you might need to, tweak that cooking time
Yeah, depends on your oven.
based on your oven.
Exactly.
So a common empirical formula uses the average thickness of that plastic part,
Okay.
and it uses a material-specific coefficient, we'll just call it C,
Okay.
to calculate the cooling time.
Okay.
And for example, polycarbonate, which is used in like everything from eyeglasses to electronics, has a C value between 1.5 and 2.0.
Oh, so that C value is telling us it's going to cool relatively slowly.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you need to produce those parts really quickly, you might need to consider a different material or tweak that mold design.
But the research also mentions that these formulas aren't always super accurate.
Right. They're great for quick estimations,
Yeah.
but they might not capture all those little nuances of complex designs or unusual materials.
Okay.
So there's a chance you might end up with some warped or defective products.
So that kind of brings us to our next method,
Yeah.
the preliminary trial molds.
Yeah, those are fun.
These sound like they're a little bit more hands-on.
They definitely are. They're all about experimenting and fine-tuning.
I like that.
It's like a dress rehearsal for
Okay.
your final product.
Gotcha.
So you can test different cooling times
Yeah.
and see how that affects the quality.
It's like a test drive before you buy a new car.
Exactly.
You don't just rely on the specs from the manufacturer.
Right. You want to feel how it handles
Right,
in the
yeah.
real world. So this method's really valuable when you have a new mold design or a new material.
Yeah.
You get real-world feedback
Yeah.
and can adjust based on what you see.
And speaking of real-world feedback, one of the research articles here mentioned this project where all these products were coming out deformed.
Uh-huh.
And it turned out that it was because the cooling time was too short.
Oh, wow.
And they used trial molds.
Yeah.
To figure out the problem and solve it.
That's a great example of how, you know, doing those trial molds,
yeah,
while it might seem a little time consuming at first, can actually save you a lot of money and frustration in the long run.
Okay.
Because you're catching and correcting these issues early on.
I'm starting to see how all of these different methods kind of fit together, like pieces of a puzzle.
Yeah.
We've got the theoretical approach, we've got the quick estimations, and we've got the hands-on experimentation.
Yep.
What's the final piece of this puzzle?
That would be the mold flow analysis software. It's like the most technologically advanced method.
Okay, color me intrigued.
And it can be a real game changer for optimizing these cooling times.
What makes this software so special?
Well, it's like having a crystal ball.
Okay.
For your injection molding process.
Oh, wow.
It simulates the entire cycle.
Okay.
From when that molten plastic enters the mold all the way to the final cooled product.
So we can see the whole process from start to finish.
And it lets you see how different variables impact the outcome.
So we can kind of troubleshoot before we even get to the real deal.
Exactly. You can see potential problems.
Wow.
Before they even happen.
So it's like a virtual time machine.
I like that.
For injection molding.
That's a good one.
So we can look into the future and see what might go wrong.
Exactly. It takes into account all those factors that are really hard to predict with those other methods. Like, you know, crazy geometry of the mold, the layout of the cooling channels, even the specific flow behavior of the plastic that you're using.
That's amazing. But I'm guessing there's a learning curve with this software.
There definitely is. It sounds pretty complex.
It is, but the insights that you get from it are incredible.
Okay.
It's really like seeing the molding process in a whole new light.
But even with all of this fancy technology, real-world testing is still important.
Absolutely.
Right.
It gives you great guidance, but, you know, it can't perfectly replicate all those complexities of real-world manufacturing.
Right. Nothing beats the real deal.
Exactly. You always want to validate those simulations with the actual production trials.
So we've got these four distinct methods for tackling injection mold cooling times. Theoretical, empirical, experimental, and this digital simulation, each with its own strengths and weaknesses.
It's like having a toolbox filled with specialized tools.
Yeah.
The key is just knowing which one to grab for the job.
Exactly. And I think that kind of leads us to the next question. How do we choose the right tool?
And that's a question that we'll explore further in the next part of our deep dive.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
It really is like picking the right tool for the job.
Right.
You wouldn't use a wrench to drive a nail.
Exactly.
And you wouldn't always jump to, you know, complex simulations for a simple mold.
Oh. So it seems like each one of these methods has its own sweet spot.
Yeah.
When do those theoretical calculations really shine?
They're most valuable when you're really pushing the boundaries of injection molding.
Okay.
Like when you're working with, you know, those exotic new materials or crafting these really intricate designs with incredibly tight tolerances.
Okay.
That's when that deep dive into the physics of heat transfer really pays off.
So if I'm creating a mold for like a new super strong heat resistant polymer for like a spacecraft or something, that's when I'd want to reach for those theoretical calculations.
Exactly.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
What about these empirical formulas?
Yeah.
When are those the go-to?
Empirical formulas are great when you need a quick estimate.
Okay.
Like early in the design process, they're your back of the envelope calculations.
All right.
Especially handy when you're working with familiar materials.
Okay.
And those relatively simple mold designs.
So you can kind of narrow down the possibilities like you're sketching before you actually start painting.
Right. They give you that framework to work with.
Yeah.
Even if you know the details might need a little bit of adjusting later on.
And when do those hands-on preliminary trial molds become absolutely essential?
Oh, yeah.
When do we just ditch all the calculations and go right into the experimenting?
Trial molds are your best friend when you're venturing into uncharted territory.
Okay.
A brand new mold design, especially one with like those intricate features or tight tolerances, absolutely calls for some trial runs. And they're also really indispensable when you're working with new materials,
right,
where you don't have a lot of historical data to fall back on.
It's like doing a test flight of a new plane design.
Exactly.
You got to make sure it can fly before you start building 1,000 of them.
Right. It's all about mitigating risk.
Yeah.
And ensuring quality.
Okay. So trial molds are for when we need to test it out.
Yeah.
We're not really sure what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then finally, when does that high-tech mold flow analysis software take center stage? When do we bring in the virtual engineers?
I love that.
Yeah.
Mold flow analysis really shines when that complexity ramps up.
Yeah, okay.
Intricate designs, demanding performance requirements need to minimize those cycle times.
Okay.
That's when this software really earns its keep.
So it's like having a supercomputer as your co-pilot.
I love that.
As you're navigating all the complexities of injection molding.
Absolutely.
But even with this incredible tool, real world testing is still a must.
Always.
Right?
It's a guide.
Yeah.
But remember, those real world conditions can always throw a curveball.
You know, thinking about all these methods, it seems like they're not necessarily mutually exclusive.
Uh-huh.
Could you use, you know, several of them together?
Absolutely.
For a particularly challenging project?
That's a really smart approach.
Okay.
It's like using multiple strategies to solve a really tough puzzle.
Right.
Sometimes you need to look at that big picture.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you need to focus on those individual pieces.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just need to try different approaches until something clicks.
So you might start with a quick empirical formula just to get a ballpark estimate.
Exactly.
And then refine that estimate with some theoretical calculations if the design calls for it.
Wow.
And then you could use those refined estimates as a starting point for your trial molds.
Exactly.
Making adjustments based on the real world results.
Right. And you could even use the mold flow analysis software to simulate those trial mold experiments.
Wow.
To push that optimization even further.
What happens if all of those different methods give us conflicting results? How do we know which one to trust?
That's where experience and a healthy dose of engineering judgment come in.
Okay.
You need to consider the limitations of each method,
uh-huh.
the specific requirements of your project.
Yeah.
And you know your tolerance for risk.
It's like being a detective, weighing all the evidence.
Right.
And making the best call based on the available information.
But even with the best detective work.
Right.
There are always those unexpected factors that can throw a wrench in our plans.
Exactly, like fluctuations in the ambient temperature.
Uh-huh.
Variations in the temperature of that molten plastic.
Okay.
Or even inconsistencies in the cooling capacity of your molding machine.
Right, so many different things.
I can all affect that actual cooling time.
So it sounds like there's no magic formula.
Yeah.
No foolproof method.
Right.
But rather this toolkit of approaches.
Uh-huh.
Each with their own strengths and weaknesses.
So it's about choosing the right tool for the job.
Yes.
Understanding its limitations and being prepared to adapt along the way.
It's about using your knowledge, your experience, your intuition to make the best decision for each unique situation.
So we've tackled, you know, the what and the how of determining cooling time.
Right. Yeah.
Exploring these various methods and when to use them.
Uh-huh.
But I'm curious, what does the future hold for this aspect of injection molding? Are we always going to rely on these four methods?
Yeah.
Or are there new technologies and approaches on the horizon?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And the future of determining cooling time is actually very exciting.
Okay.
There's a lot of promising advancements in the works.
Okay.
Driven by that relentless pursuit of faster cycle times higher quality products and more sustainable manufacturing practices.
Okay. You've officially piqued my curiosity. Let's dive into that future of cooling time.
Let's do it.
In the final part of our deep dive. Okay. I'm ready for that glimpse into the crystal ball, what's on the horizon. For figuring out cooling time in injection molding.
Well, get ready for the future, because the future of cooling time is looking pretty futuristic.
Oh, wow.
One of the most promising developments is, you know, the rise of even more sophisticated simulation software.
Okay.
Powered by AI and machine learning.
AI for cooling time.
Yeah.
It sounds like we're stepping into like a sci-fi movie.
It might sound like science fiction.
Yeah.
But it's a lot closer to reality than you might think.
Okay.
These AI-powered simulations could analyze, you know, massive amounts of data from past production runs.
Okay.
Sensor readings.
Yeah.
Even real-time feedback from the molding machine itself.
So instead of relying on just static calculations,
right.
The software's constantly learning, adapting.
Like a virtual cooling time expert right there on the factory floor.
Wow, that's impressive. What else is brewing in the world of cooling time innovation? Any other cool technologies on the horizon?
There's a lot of really fascinating research happening with new materials,
Right?
with tailored thermal properties
Okay.
that are specifically designed to cool faster and shorten those cycle times.
So instead of just adapting our cooling methods to existing materials,
Right.
we're actually engineering the materials themselves to be more efficient coolers.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
Right. And we're already starting to see, new polymer blends and composites that have a higher thermal conductivity
Okay.
and lower specific heat capacities.
Okay.
So these materials can dissipate heat much faster than traditional plastics.
So it's like those high-tech fabrics that
Yeah.
are designed to wick away moisture
Uh-huh.
and keep athletes cool,
Exactly.
but for plastic parts.
Yeah, I like that analogy.
Yeah.
Are there any other advancements that are particularly intriguing?
Yeah. What else is out there?
One area I'm really fascinated by is the integration of sensors and real-time monitoring systems
Okay.
right into the mold itself.
In the
Imagine tiny sensors embedded within that mold cavity that are constantly measuring, the temperature and pressure of that plastic
Yeah.
as it cools and solidifies.
So it's like giving the mold its own nervous system
Yeah.
to kind of sense and respond
Uh-huh.
to what's happening in real time.
And all that data that you get from those sensors
Yeah, what do we do with all that data?
that can feed back to the molding machine's control system,
Oh, wow.
allowing for these really precise and dynamic adjustments
Okay.
to the cooling parameters.
So we can fine-tune it on the fly.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
To ensure those optimal results.
It seems like we're moving towards this future where determining cooling time
Yeah.
isn't about guesswork or even complex calculations anymore, but it's this intelligent,
Right?
adaptive process
Yeah.
that's constantly learning and optimizing.
Exactly.
That's really
It's part of this bigger trend in manufacturing towards, smarter, more data-driven processes, whether it's material selection or quality control or even, predicting machine maintenance needs.
So it's not just about making better plastic parts, it's about making the entire manufacturing process better,
Exactly.
more efficient.
More responsive,
Yeah.
more in tune with, the demands of this rapidly changing world.
Well, it looks like we've reached the end of our deep dive into, injection mold cooling time.
It has been a journey.
We went from the theoretical to the practical, from the tried and true to the cutting edge, and even got a glimpse into the future.
I know. It's amazing how much there is to learn.
But before we wrap up, is there a key takeaway,
Yeah.
a final thought that you want to leave with our listener?
I think the most important message is this. Never stop learning, never stop experimenting,
Okay.
and never underestimate the power of curiosity and innovation,
I love that.
to transform the way we make things.
Beautifully said. So, to our listeners, go forth and mold amazing things,
Yeah.
armed with all this new knowledge about cooling time. And until next time, keep diving deep into the world of knowledge and discovery.
I'll see you on the next deep dive.